Well, are we ready? Ready? I don't know. I feel like we could almost sing a little longer. So good to praise the Lord this morning. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is How to Glorify God. Today, many Christians fail to recognize the greatness and the glory of God. And this is the sad truth of the American church. They fail to understand that God is holy, righteous, and sovereign. Amen? God is more than just love. God is holy. And everything that comes from God is because of His holiness. Isaiah said, "Woe is me," when he was given a glimpse into heaven and cast his eyes upon the Lord. Moses, his face glowed when he came down off the mountain after being in the presence of God. See, these men understood the greatness and the glory of God. And yet today, people treat God as if he were a doting grandfather, a religious Santa Claus who is indifferent to our sins. Amen? They act as if God is someone they can choose to ignore if they want to. But God is to be worshipped, adored, and glorified. Amen? Amen? So when we start thinking about God, we must understand that His natural attributes include omniscience. He has perfect knowledge and understanding of all things. His omnipresence. His presence is everywhere, and you cannot hide from God. His omnipotence. He can do all things because He is all-powerful. And God is love. And His love is unconditional, and His love is everlasting. Hallelujah. So if we're going to glorify God, that we need to acknowledge His intimate love for us, His love that works within us and through us. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. God is rich in mercy. And mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one's power to punish or harm. And as Moses told the children of Israel, God loves us because He loves us. And He sacrificed His Son because He loves us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. That'll make you get excited, church. By grace you have been saved. Amen. See, we were dead in our sins, lost and separated from God. But through the finished work of Christ on the cross, the believer has been made alive for all eternity. Glory, hallelujah. And because Christ has been raised up from the dead, we can be raised up. It is because of God's incredible love and His unmerited grace that we can be saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only have we been raised up, but we've been raised up with Jesus. And we've been granted a seat in glory. Amen. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So in these four verses of Scripture, we see God's mercy, love, and grace extended to us. Which means that God is great in His love and His compassion towards us. And He lives within those who love and trust Him. And He has promised to meet our every need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, God has promised to meet all of our needs. And so we need to give him the glory that he so rightly deserves. So how do we glorify God? Glory, meaning the honor and audible praise which his creatures give to him. Glory being defined as adoration or thanksgiving offered up in worship. The meaning of glory is literally a gift of honor and praise. You see, glory is something you give, not take. And the one who deserves our worship and praise the most is our Heavenly Father. Amen? The psalmist says in Psalm 65, verse 1 and 2, praise is waiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. The psalmist tells God that praise is waiting on him and that all flesh will come into his presence, that we will perform vows of praise because he created us. Which causes us to have to ask the question, why did God create us? Was it to populate and manage the earth that he had made? Yes. Did God create us so that we could interact with each other and show love for one another? Yes. How about witnessing? Maybe God put us on this earth so that we could tell others about him. Again, the answer is yes. And all of these are excellent reasons, but there's an even bigger reason why we're here. You ready for it? God created us because God wants us to glorify him. We get that? We were created to glorify God. That is our sole purpose. So everything that we do, amen? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Pretty clear, right? So we have been created to glorify and bring pleasure to God. And when we glorify God, we are glorifying all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are giving respect to God the Father who gave us life. We are honoring God the Son who laid down his life for us. And we are exalting God the Holy Spirit who produces new life in us. So everything we do must bring glory to the whole Trinity. And as the crowning achievement in his creation, God wants us to glorify him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been bought and paid for, church. We were bought and paid for with the shed blood of Christ, the Son of Almighty God. Therefore, glorifying God in body and spirit means worshiping with reverence, attentiveness, and for the right purpose. Amen? See, we do not gather to worship merely to be seen by others. So in order to worship God in the right spirit, we must take time before worship to make our hearts ready. We must take time to clear our minds so that we'll be receptive to his presence. So ask yourself, why are you here this morning? Is it because good people go to church on Sunday? Is it because your parents always took you to the church and so it's now habit? And I hope most of us would say that we are here to worship and we are here hoping and expecting to have an encounter with God. After all, we do call this the worship service, amen?
Amen?
So what makes what we do as the assembled body of Christ worship? Think about all the things we have done so far this morning. What constitutes worship? How about the singing of hymns and praise songs? This morning, have you sung the songs that talked of God's greatness and glory, His sacrifice, His grace, and His forgiveness? But did we sing them for God? Did we sing them to God's glory? Or did we just mumble and stumble through the words? This morning, were we more concerned about our personal preference in what we sang than God being glorified? Johann Sebastian Bach said, "All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only devilish hubbub." He headed his compositions with the letters JJ for Jesus Yahweh, which means Jesus, help me. Then he ended them with SDG, which stands for Soli Dei Gratia, which means to God alone be the praise. This morning, we have lifted up our voices in prayer and praise for His mercy and His love. We have given Him thanks for our salvation, our forgiveness, and for our blessings. We have expressed our love and concern for those who are hurting among us. And finally, we have extended our trust by putting all of our problems into His hands for safekeeping. We have declared our heart and soul's desire to worship Him and Him alone. How about this morning when we passed the offering plate? Was that worship? Well, it depends on your attitude. Amen? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Is the preaching of God's word worship? Why do we preach God's word? Because we're commanded to. Why do we preach it to the lost? So they know how to be saved. Why do we preach it to the saved? So they know how they can serve. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There is power in God's word. Amen? Do you truly believe that this morning? There is power in God's word. And this is why Jesus has sent each and every one of us into the world to share the precious gospel. You see, the Great Commission was given to all believers and not just to the preachers. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, Paul quotes Isaiah when he says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So this morning, if it's never been clear to you of whether or not you have been sent to proclaim the gospel, church, each and every one of you is sent. It is not enough to come here on Sunday morning and hear the word of God preached and proclaimed. You have to take it out to the masses. It is time that we become the feet and the hands of the gospel. Amen? See, God is to be glorified in all that we do for Him. And that is why Isaiah 55:11 tells us, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." Again, each of us has been commissioned to share the Word of God. Glorifying God consists of adoration and praise. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness." We must remember that the God we worship is holy, righteous, and sovereign. Therefore, we must lift up God and keep ourselves grounded, for He is the object of our praise. Church, we must remove ourselves from worship because it is not about us. Amen? So you should understand and you should see, worship is not meant to be static or stationary.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalposts. Everybody knows goalposts. Throwing a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go, there's your big three.
So church, you should see that it's okay to raise our hands, to clap our hands. We should want to shout amen and hallelujah as we praise our Heavenly Father. I don't want you to worry about what anyone might think that's sitting around you. Because as I stated before, it's not about us, it is about God. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6 says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." In stark contrast, in 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after the reign of 72 years. He had called himself the Great, and he was the monarch who was famous for stating, "I am the state." His court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral was equally spectacular. As his body lay in state in a golden coffin, orders were given that the cathedral should be very dimly lit with only a single candle set above his coffin to dramatize his greatness. And at the memorial, thousands waited in hushed silence. Then the bishop Massillon began to speak. And slowly reaching down, he snuffed out the candle and said, "Only God is great." For you see, only God is great and only God is worthy of our praise. Amen? Psalm chapter 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You see, we glorify God when we worship Him with mind, body, and soul. We must control our thoughts during periods of worship and not allow them to wander off to other things. We should never be wishing the worship service would hurry up and be over. We shouldn't worry about whether or not we'll have to wait in line at the restaurant or worry about a pot roast that might potentially burn. In fact, we should be of the frame of mind that we are disappointed when the worship service comes to an end. And showing reverence and respect to God, He will not be indifferent, inattentive. To our proclamations of praise. And so we must not take lightly what should be considered serious. For worship to God is holy, therefore our worship must show reverence toward Him. Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. God, He is our Creator, and He holds our eternal destiny in His hands. Therefore, we should make every effort to glorify Him daily. 86:9 says, all nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and shall glorify Your name. Our character in worship must be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Sleeping, squirming, unnecessary talking, and passing in notes all disrespect and worshiping God. Worship which is insincere and not done from the heart is done in vain. And it is unacceptable to God. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 6b, this people honors Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. How's your heart? Is it near or close to our Savior this morning? The act of participation will get rid of our lack of interest and inattentiveness. And reverence is not having a long face or folded hands or a look of indifference, but a sense of being in God's presence as we worship. Worship is a time for joy, or at least it should be. Too many Christians show up to church on Sunday morning looking like they've been baptized in vinegar. Sour look on their face. The church Sunday morning should be the joyful highlight of our week because we get to enter into God's house and praise His name. It's a time of offering Him thanks, our adoration, and our love. It's a time to pray and sing praises to God and to lift up His word. So every part of our worship, every part of our lives must glorify God. Amen. God is sovereign, meaning He is completely independent. See, God didn't need to create us, nor does He need us for anything. And so sometimes we might come to the conclusion that we're not important to God, that we have no purpose to fulfill, but that's a complete picture. God tells us in His Scripture that we were created to glorify Him. That's our purpose. And because that's our purpose, it shows us that we are important to Him personally. Amen? To glorify Him means to bring honor through what we say, how we act, and how we think. To glorify God means to acknowledge His glory and to value it above everything else. And to glorify God, it means that we must make it known to others. To glorify God means that we have a heartfelt gratitude. We glorify God through our faith and our trust in Him. We glorify God through our love for Him and for others. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." We glorify God through our desire to obey Him. We glorify God through our desire to know Him. And we glorify God when it is our highest priority in our thoughts and we have holy respect for Him. For you see, God considers Himself glorified when He is loved. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This shows our love to God when our hearts are set upon Him, because a man's heart is set upon his treasure. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thus to love God is to glorify Him. Angels in heaven glorify Him. They wait on His throne and they are ready to obey His every command. We also glorify Him when we dedicate ourselves and stand ready to hear His call. See, we glorify God when we are devoted to His service. We glorify God when we have studied and prepared to accomplish His work. We glorify God when our tongue speaks out for Him. We glorify God when our hands and feet serve His people. So the question this morning is, do your daily actions glorify God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Church, hide this verse in your heart. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Everything that we do, and that means everything, must glorify God. We must also glorify God through our posture. When the wise men came to visit the Christ child, they did so on bended knee. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Church, and we too should show our respect to God. When we approach Him, it should be done with humility and respect. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" This is a lesson that the world needs to take to heart. Because Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth." Amen? God so greatly loved us. He gave us His only begotten Son to die for our sins. Therefore, He deserves our praise. And we glorify Him when we rejoice in His goodness. We also glorify Him through our good works on His behalf. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Because we have received His mercy, we must glorify Him. Romans chapter 15, verse 8 through 13. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, even in our suffering, we glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." And there's coming a day when the world will glorify Him. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." See, God, our Heavenly Father, He cleanses those who come to Him. He heals the afflicted, He comforts the bereaved, He lifts the fallen, and He loves the unlovable. And it is for this reason that we will glorify God for all of eternity. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." When we get to heaven, we will worship and glorify the Lord, and we will do so in a manner like we have never done before. And we will have all of eternity to give Him our praise. Church, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get started, because it's going to be gloriously wonderful. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before You to glorify Your name, because You alone are worthy. Because of Your mercy, Your unmerited favor upon us sinners, You sent Your only Son to come die on a cross, take on the sin of all the world, to cover us with His shed blood, that we might be sanctified and justified. Father, we love You. We seek to praise Your name, to glorify You in all that we do. We thank You for the opportunity to enter into Your house. Continue to work in our lives and in our hearts. Convict us when we fail to glorify You, Father. Let everything that we do glorify You. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.